Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And welcome to Hope is Alive. We thank you for joining us here, and we'll bring them in on. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
Amen. And blessings from here. Well, men, looking forward to a good broadcast, and I'll sure let you know when your callers come on.
All right. Thank you, sir. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the show about deliverance, the show about testimonies, the show about those who've been set free. And we just thank you for joining us this evening. If you have any questions about deliverance, deliveranceusa.com is the website. It has everything on there that we talk about night after night each through the last few years. And you can also get the book, The Supernatural Works of Jesus, by Pastor Cox, by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that. He'll get it out to you. I know Pastor had a few thoughts he wanted to share, so Pastor, I'm going to let you go with that, okay?
All right, Brother Ralph. Well, I was reading in the Revelations recently and came across a scripture which kind of verifies what we keep seeing in the field, but we'll have people from time to time say to us, well, I understand that Christians can't have demons, and they're following a doctrine along those lines, that they are somehow immune. And yet, this scripture, like I came across, I'm not sure I'd ever seen it before, but it sure makes a point of what we just said, and that is in Revelations 12 and verse 17 in the King James, speaking about Jesus' mother, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of course, those are assignments that we keep running into. We'll find often of the several dozen evil spirits that we wind up casting out of Christians that we minister to, that about half are by the doors that the persons opened or their ancestors, and the other half are there by satanic assignments coming from the enemy to do this very thing, to try to block Christians' lives. It's obvious to us in the ministry field in deliverance that Christians are the targets. And that's why it behooves us to learn who we are, that we are to resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 is certainly along those lines where Peter was addressing Christians when he said, our adversary, the devil, stalketh around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are going on with the brethren. And there we go again, pointing out that Christians are obviously a target of the satanic world. And unless we learn who we are in Jesus and that we have all power, like Luke 10:19, all power that's been given to us from the cross in Jesus' name to deal with these spirits, the Christian body is very vulnerable. And many Christians are buying into that doctrine that Christians are immune. And it saddens me to think how much that has hurt growth of the Christian body in the gospel, how it has blocked, and the evil spirits are having a heyday. So that's why we're on the show tonight, is sharing and trying to get the word across that we have all power if we use it, and to be aware and to learn how to counter the enemy.
Amen. Amen. You know, Pastor, that scripture you gave in Revelations cross-references to Genesis 3:15 is what that does. And it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And I believe that is the very first prophecy given in Scripture. And that's still being fought out today upon the seed of Jesus, those that belong to him, and against those who belong to the forces of darkness. And a lot of times that's in the spiritual, a lot of times it's in the physical, but it's still going on today. And the thoughts that I had, you know, he told you the U.S. Scripture, and the thought I'd had come to me is, here we are coming up to the Christmas season, and it's a time to celebrate the birth of a Savior who came upon this country.
Yes.
And not this country, not this country, well, of course, this country, this world. And it says in Matthew 1:22, says, she will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And if you look over in Luke, it talks about saving from the hand of those who hate you as well, as for the prophecies of Jesus. And that's part of deliverance, of saving those, because the Satan hates us, the demons hate us, the children of the devil hate us, and they're constantly against us through witchcraft, through curses, through powers of darkness, through their spell casting, and all kinds of things through the music, through TV. It's just, we're just being inundated with a war against us, and part of deliverance is part of those weapons to come against this war, in this warfare. It's a very powerful weapon to come against in this warfare. So looks like, Pastor, we had a couple of the same thoughts. That's why I didn't want to discuss with you when you said it. I wanted to see if the Holy Spirit was kind of leading us in the same direction. Kind of amazing how he does that, huh?
So often happens.
and it is a time to rejoice. You know, I know a lot of people say a lot of times that Christmas is not mentioned in Scripture, but the birth of Christ is. And remembering that birth, because we can't have his death, burial, resurrection if he wasn't born first. And it is a joyous time. If you read about that, it was joyous. It was joyous within the womb of Elizabeth when she came up and seen Mary, and it said John the Baptist leapt in the womb, and they were both filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, here we're talking about the first mention of the actual word Holy Spirit is in these, when it's talking about the birth and the conception of Jesus. So I just rejoice that our Savior was born, and when he was born, he was equipped with power of the Holy Spirit. And that same power he gave all Christians access to. And that is just something to just marvel in, that the God of the creation of the universe humbled himself, became flesh, born of a woman, fulfilled everything for us so we could have that power, because he loved us and he wanted to help us overcome. And
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That is just a wonderful thing to think about.
Yes.
And, it's great during this time of year. I was listening, I wanted to listen to religious Christmas music today, and there are some powerful words in some of those old hymns, like Joy to the World. I mean, just when I listened to it today, it was like I was pumping and flexing my my spiritual muscles. I felt like I could just take on the world. So just my thoughts, since we're gonna have Christmas coming around here, and just some thoughts I wanted on it. So fantastic. Well, Pastor, if we have enough time for our first caller, is there anything that happened this week that you want to talk about deliverance?
Oh, well, we had 12 cases. We had a minister for each. And it was a very typical, wonderful evening of low-key ministry. There weren't any outcries. it's because we do that door-closing prayer. It seems to take the wind out of their sails, pretty much, out of the demons, where they're easier to deal with and cast out. And I had a case that was very good, a strong Christian. It had delivered some before. And he didn't feel a thing the whole evening, except he kept saying, "I feel lighter. I have more peace." So he was one of those that just wasn't sensitive to the spirit world as such. We run into those certain amount of time, but the majority of people, of course, do feel something going on when we're casting these spirits out. But it was a good evening, and one quick big announcement is our Monday night meeting is now changed from where we were. We've moved to another church to host us on this Monday night's ministry of deliverance sessions, healing sessions. And it's just about a dozen blocks from where we were, and it'll be on our website, anyone that wants to find it, and on our voicemail on the phone, et cetera. So just thought I'd get that out. We just signed the contract this last week.
Praise the Lord. So if anybody's planning on going and has gone to Oklahoma City, keep that in mind, because you'll show up at the wrong place if you go to the old place.
We're going to have a sign up in case somebody does come up there.
Yeah. Just when I got to where I could find it without GPS, you move. Well, it sounds like it's a better deal for you overall, from what they've told me, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the spirit that will be felt when we get there. Next time I'm in Oklahoma City, and pray Everett that everything goes smooth with the transition and all the moving of everything. And
Ralph, it's a huge church, former Baptist church. It's Crestwood Vineyard Church, so it's a vineyard church, a full gospel church, one of John Wimber's churches from out of California. And it's a gorgeous church with all kinds of rooms. So we're going to have more ability for more groups, larger groups, and more private-like.
Well, praise God on that. That is one thing that I would say, that when you had a heavy amount of people, it was hard sometimes to concentrate on who you're with, because there were so many deliverances going on. It's hard to focus at times. So that'll really help out, I think.
Yes.
I think that'll really help out a lot. So praise God on that. Absolutely praise God. And Everett, I come across another saying. We always like to talk about forgiveness on the show because it's so important in Scripture. But I came across this the other day, and it said, holding a grudge doesn't make you strong, it makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak, it sets you free.
Yes. Amen,
that is,
amen.
That is scriptural. That is scriptural right there. And it's just so important to let things go. You know, the Bible does say, don't let the sun set on your anger, because it'll give the devil opportunity. And a lot of times we'll be angry and think that we have a righteous anger, and it's not so righteous. And it's just best to, especially dealing with other Christians, that you just let it go, forgive them,
yes,
and realize they're growing just like you. And a lot of times it's more of a misunderstanding than it is something done maliciously. And if it does done maliciously, then still forgive.
Yes. Amen.
Just better to err on the side of grace and mercy, especially when it comes to other Christians.
I wished I'd learned this earlier in my life. It would have made things a lot better.
It would.
I think we've all come from there.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And it's just, you'll never hear us talk about forgiveness. We'll always talk about it. I don't think we can talk about it enough. I mean, just the entire Bible is just talks about forgiving. Jesus, forgive us. Jesus, forgive us. And when we start dealing with other Christians, the way I look at it is, well, I'm going to forgive them whether they repent or not, because that's between them and God, not between me and them. And I'm just going to let them go because I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to hold on to something. I don't want to give the opportunity there for a door to open up and a spirit to get in there and start lying to my ear, whispering to me. And the next thing you know, if you're not careful, you're just going down the wrong path.
Well, and of course, as Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. And that's not fun. That's much better not being turned to the tormentors and to have the peace that comes with forgiving. Like a blanket of heaviness that comes off people. Great therapy just by itself, but it paves the way for efficient ministry. Otherwise, evil spirits can hold on because of unforgiveness.
Yes, yes it is. Yes, it is. We have Jacqueline. Jacqueline, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Jacqueline. It's great to have you with us tonight.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be on the phone talking to you.
Yeah, it's always fun. Jacqueline is a wonderful lady that's even become one of our team leaders, and I thought she'd been on before we were talking Monday night, and somehow I got her mixed up with someone else, but she's on tonight. So, Jacqueline, if you could go ahead and kind of start from the beginning or early part of your life on some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance. And any experiences you'd like to share.
Okay, well, I've been saved now for 36 years. I was raised and born in in Los Angeles, California, and God called me and my family here to Oklahoma City. I started going to a church here, a Victory Church, and then I met a friend there, and she invited me to a small church that you were speaking at, and she had blessed me with your book. So I got a chance to read the book, and then I came to the deliverance ministry myself. That was about 8 years ago, and I went through ministry, and it blessed me so much that I shared it with my daughter and different people. I came back several times, brought different people, and I knew that I wanted to be a part of the deliverance ministry, and that was something that God had called me to do, but it just wasn't time. So it wasn't until 6 years later that I actually got a chance to come and start going to the basic training and the advanced training, and then I started going, you know, ministering myself. And during the 6 years, I did a lot of praying and did a lot of reading and studying and everything, and then I knew in my spirit that it was time for me to come and be a part of the ministry. And
Jacqueline, when you
being there has been, huh? Pardon me.
When you were ministered to, Jacqueline, did you see some changes? How do you know some spirits were cast out?
Well, I saw a lot of changes. It was a lot of inner healing, you know, for me. The Lord revealed a lot of things that I was holding in. There needed to be forgiveness for my father and just different things that happened in my life. And my legs grew, and I didn't realize that my legs were shorter. One of my legs was shorter. My arms grew. And so the deliverance, it was just a big change, you know, in me. And so it was a blessing. It changed my life. I was never the same, and it was just a continual process. And I would talk to whoever would listen about it. you know, I would bring, I brought my daughter, and then I would share it with people. When I would talk to them, I would share with them about the deliverance ministry and how it blessed me. And so I kept bringing people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've brought a lot of people. Well, when you were ministered to, did you feel those spirits come out, or how do you know what went on there? Did you cough or anything, or just feel them go, or what?
I did feel them go. I did feel them go, but I didn't feel like any pain or anything. It was more like burping and yarning more than anything. I didn't feel any pain or anything in my body, but there was a lot of burping and a lot of yarning, you know, during the deliverance process for me.
Yeah, and that's pretty common, as you've seen, of course. Probably
yeah.
Yawning
mm-hmm.
is the most common, and then coughing, and then burping, and, you know, or they just feel move around their body and come out. But that's a real sign
mm-hmm.
that something's going on to a person. It's a sign and wonder, you know, that
yes.
we read about that a person mm-hmm. experiences in that. And that's amazing to a lot of people that they actually felt these spirits moving and coming out. So do you remember some of the changes that happened in your life from that?
The changes that happened in my life was there was a lot of there was just a lot of joy, a lot of peace. It was more revelation and wisdom about deliverance, you know, for me, having a greater understanding of how important it is to forgive. It was all not even not realizing that, you know, we could be housing, you know, spirits, you know, in our body. You know, that was like revelation to me as a Christian, being a born again Christian, that you can be a Christian and still have spirits. And I didn't know that. So that was revelation to me, you know, for me to that was the beginning process of me understanding how important it is for us for deliverance.
We were just talking about that very thing, Jennifer, before you came on, how often we run into people that say, well, I'm really surprised that Christians could have demons, because in our church they said we were okay, we couldn't have them. Doctrine, in
mm-hmm.
essence, that they're following. And you probably run into that some in ministering to others
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah. So
really
that was an eye opener for me to know that, because you know that things that I was having problems with that it was that there were spirits. You know, a lot of times you think, okay, this is just my personality, or this is just something that I'm dealing with. This is the way that I
right.
was born. But I've realized that a lot of times that the enemy can set up a satanic structure in your personality, and you think it's a part of who you are, and it's not. You know, so that was
Paul,
revelation to me.
Paul had the same problem, Jacqueline, with the church in Ephesus, and in Ephesians 6:11-12, when he was saying, "Hey, y'all, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but
mm-hmm.
these spirits," you know, he goes on to say.
Yeah.
And what Paul was saying way back, you know, 2,000 years ago, sure needs to be said a lot more in the churches today. Pretty clear
mm-hmm.
that it's not being
mm-hmm.
told.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's exciting to be a part of the deliverance ministry, and it's exciting to understand how important it is to walk in forgiveness, to walk in love, and that and to learn the tools of staying free, you know, on a daily basis. So it's
yeah.
really a blessing, and I share it with whoever will listen.
Jacqueline, can you recall some interesting cases that you've had and supernatural
yes.
things you've seen happen?
Yes. I saw a lady. I saw her grow 4 inches in front of me. And from her neck up, when we were doing
wow.
the, you know, doing the adjustment with the body, you know, where you command the arms and everything to grow out, the feet to grow out, and things like that, where the Holy Spirit starts adjusting their body like a chiropractor. And I prayed and spoke to the C1 and the C2, and for the pain to go and the bones to grow, and her neck grew about 4 inches in front of me. So,
oh my
yeah,
word!
And I see it all the time. I mean, you know, as far as the legs growing, the arms growing, you know, people's continence changing, you know, where they start looking like it's like they look younger, like maybe 20 years, 30 years younger as they're going through the deliverance, and their continence changes, and you start seeing joy, you know, in them. And so I've noted, you know, people are healed, you know, of ailments in their body, you know, inner healing, where they leave, you know, where they're healed of trauma and different things like that. So, yeah.
Yes, and you mentioned you had quite a bit of inner healing need. Most people do. You know, they've had traumas in their lives. So that was a big impact with your ministry then.
Yes, the inner healing was a big impact. And the inner healing for me, it changed my life.
Praise God. Yeah,
praise
we're always
God.
Pushing that is a huge door, the trauma doors, we call it, that we can get close to this inner healing of where Jesus takes the bad feelings associated with various memories, events, and traumas. He supernaturally takes the bad feelings that have been influencing people, and also many times are the actual entry of evil spirits, and he takes all that. That door is closed as he does that. And it's an amazing, I never get over the amazement of seeing people change in like you say, they become younger. And
they look just, younger and brighter, and their joy, they're happier.
Yes.
You know, when they leave, you know, they're freer and they're happier, and they leave with tools to, to continue, growing and with the deliverance process. And I always let anyone that, you know, the people that I minister to that you can, if they feel like they need to come back. And I also advise them to come to the basic training and the advanced training, because what we're learning is just for everyday life. You know, as the ministers, we learn to stay delivered, and we also learn to help others be delivered. You know, it's just really important, you know, how important it is to, to walk in forgiveness and to learn how to, the tools and the steps to stand free.
Yes. You know, we've had to conclude that it would be an extremely rare Christian, this side of Jesus, that hasn't opened doors or hasn't had some satanic assignments put on them. The more a Christian has God-given gifts and is moving forward in the gospel and becoming evangelists or preachers, and they obviously are targets, special targets, and so the enemy puts these assignments out. But the good news being, with all power, Luke 10:19, that we've been given, we can break those assignments just by breaking them in Jesus' name, just like that, and then cast out the demons of the assignments. So it's so exciting to find out how we can help people like this. It still amazes me how I can sit down with someone and in a few hours, I can watch their life turn around, and like you say, they look like a new person. You know.
Yeah, they look like a new person, and then they have answers. You know, they not only go through the deliverance, but they leave with the tools and answers to help themselves. You know, so it's a blessing.
And so often there's spirits of infirmity that people have. Have you run into some of those, Jacqueline?
Yes, yes, I have ran into the spirit of infirmity, and a lot of times it can come through the trauma doors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I have. And through, the inner healing, taking them back to the earliest, the earliest root of it, to where it happened, you know, whatever the trauma, where it started, the earliest experience, and allowing the Lord to heal them. Then when it comes time to praying for them, then you can get rid of those spirits of infirmity, you know, through deliverance and praying for them.
And often from those traumas of the past, even as a child that carried all these years, they're carrying unforgiveness as well, which, of course, mm-hmm. is a huge door for spirits of infirmity. We run into that over and over.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's so exciting getting hold of these tools. Just think how you can use what you've learned, Jacqueline, the rest of your life.
Yes. Yes. And it's a continual process. I mean, you never stop learning. You never stop growing. And I've learned that with deliverance, it can be in layers, you know, because there's things that you're constantly learning about yourself. There's things that you're constantly learning about your family, or there might be things that maybe the Lord didn't bring up at that particular time, but he'll bring up later in your life when he feels that you're ready to handle those, you know, certain things. So I've learned that with deliverance, that it is a process. You know, and with that process, you grow and learn, and you obtain more wisdom and knowledge. So it's, you're always learning and growing in the Word, and you're always learning and growing, you know, about deliverance and how to minister to yourself and to help others.
As the scriptures say, once you've shown yourself to be approved, then you'll find that the Lord is sending people to you. You'll mm-hmm. have, with your background and all, you'll have a special ability to minister to certain people that maybe I wouldn't minister to so well, and so on. But he mm-hmm. will send you people for you to minister to the rest of your life, believe me. Once you've shown yourself approved, once you've learned enough, you know, to where you mm-hmm. can start doing this, then, and of course, you keep growing, like you say, you keep learning. There's always, and every case mm-hmm. is so different. That's been amazing, isn't it?
Yes, every single ministry is different, you know, and it's a blessing. You know, all of them are different, how they receive ministry. Every ministry of deliverance is different with each person.
Well, the good news being what isn't different is the power we have in Jesus' name mm-hmm. and the ability mm-hmm. by the blood to minister. We've got the weapons and tools to use mm-hmm. on these different cases that come along. And yes, they're all different. It just blows me away every time.
Yes, they're all different. Yes, they are.
And
you learn and you grow, you know, and you feel blessed and privileged. That God would use you to help others, you know, and to be able to share with them what I've learned and what God has done for me. It's just a blessing to be used by God to help others, you know, with
Very
being free.
Fulfilling.
And huh?
It's so fulfilling, isn't it? So fulfilling.
It's very fulfilling. It's very, very fulfilling. And I get so excited, and I want them to know and understand that this could be a way of life, you know, that you could be free, you know, and how important it is to forgive. And yeah, so it's very fulfilling. Not only for them, you know, to be used by God to help others, but for myself, you know, to know that God has given
us
the answers that we need.
Jennifer, in the remaining seconds that we have, could you kind of sum up to the people listening about this? We just have a few seconds.
Share with them about the deliverance ministry.
Yeah, anything else you'd like to say to the people?
Well, I just would like to say that forgiveness is very, very, very important. Walking in love is very, very important. Make, you know, watching the words that you say and speak over yourself and over others, because I'm, you know, a lot of curses, generations of curses can come through our seed line. You can be born into it, but also we can speak curses over ourselves by the words that come out of our mouth. And it's really, really important, because the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and it's really, really important the type of things that we speak over ourselves and speak over others, and that it's really important for us to bless others and to bless ourselves and to make sure that we're not speaking negative things or curses over other people or over our lives. And if you don't, if we don't have anything positive to say, you know, about ourselves or others, then we shouldn't say anything at all, because we're really hurting others or hurting ourselves by, you know, the words that we speak and the things that we say. And that is really, really important.
Yes. Well, Jacqueline, thank you so much for sharing. We're out of time. We have another caller coming in, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay.
Yes,
God
Jacqueline,
bless you.
Thank you for coming on.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, she's definitely correct about how easy we can speak curses on others and ourselves by that loose tongue that we can have. And
yes.
Just real easy to do, and it can happen so easy from us. It can happen, and we don't even realize it. So it's just good advice to really try to bridle it, because the Word teaches us to bridle it. It's not an easy thing to do, and it can get us in trouble. It can get us in trouble in the physical, and it can get us in trouble in the spiritual.
It takes some training, but we're in control, nevertheless, to control our tongue and to watch ourselves. I had to make quite a few changes in my speech, you know, as I started learning about this, and to speak the positives and not the negatives about someone or even myself and things that are going on.
Yes, yes. And just it goes right back to the I Am confessionals that we talk about over and over.
Yes.
It's just so important to speak those, especially toward yourself. And even when you're battling, if you're battling a forgiveness issue, you're battling health issues, just to speak that by His stripes I am healed. And when you're having trouble forgiving someone, just say their name, and I forgive them and I bless them. I forgive Bob and I bless Bob. I forgive Sue and I bless Sue. And whether you believe it's working, it is. Whether you believe it or not, it is. And if you speak it enough, before you know it, you'll start believing it.
Yes. That is interesting how that works.
It's
the
amazing
repetition. It soaks in with the repetition.
Yeah, I know that with my first deliverance, I was really having a hard time with forgiving someone very, very close to me. And whenever I would get stirred up by the emotion, I would just say, I forgive them and I bless them. And at the time, at the time, I didn't believe it.
Really? But you said it.
I did. I kept saying it.
And, it soaks in finally.
it does. It does. And I praise God that I was, I guess He put enough stubbornness in me to continue saying it, because I wanted to get over that. I wanted to get over the feelings I was having. I didn't want to hold on to that baggage anymore. And so I kept speaking it, and I kept speaking it, and I just praise God that I kept with it, because I could easily went down a path that wasn't so good. So,
you know, Ralph, the caller, we don't have another caller yet, so I'll let you know when. But when you mentioned that, mm-hmm. that power of repetition, and I think Pastor Cox mentioned that too, is that, yeah, the first time you say that, well, I forgive Joe or Mary, and it is so foreign. And you make, like you said, you say it, but you don't believe it. But you keep saying it, and you keep bringing it up in front of you. And that repetition, you convince yourself that you do. And it is so hard the first time you do that, even if it's a process like you talked about, that, you know, when you first say it, you don't believe it. But the more you say it and the more you think it, you know, the next day, well, I forgive Joe. And then an hour later, I forgive Joe. And then 3 days later, I forgive Joe. It gets easier and easier. And pretty soon, it reminds me of the scripture about being anxious for nothing, that, you know, the peace of Christ will guard your heart. And that's what it is it's like you grow into being able to forgive, even if you can't right at the beginning, but you grow into it. I've sure seen that in my life.
When I was struggling with it, I was thinking about what Pastor had taught about healing and how he would, after everybody that was prayed over, he would make them say those simple words. Now say it. I remember being prayed over by him and some other men, and before I walked away, he said, "I want to hear you say it." And what he was talking about was, by his stripes,
I'm healed.
By his stripes, I'm healed. And when Pastor would talk about how our feelings will lie to us.
Yes.
And the word says this. The word says, "I am healed," but the way I feel will tell me I'm not healed. So are you going to stand upon your feeling, which can be deceptive, or are you going to stand upon the word? And I took that teaching with a teaching that Pastor Cox had taught us about forgiving. It was very, very hard that first time he asked it. And I remember, because I didn't want to forgive this person, these people. And so Pastor had asked me this, and he put it out so simple to me. He said, "Ralph, do you believe Jesus died for all sin?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, do you believe he died for this person's sin?" And I couldn't speak at first. I could not argue with that reasoning,
right?
Because I know what the word said. And I finally said, "Yes, I believe that." And then Pastor took me this little thing right here, Pastor Cox took me this thing, and said, "Okay, how about we ask this person Jesus to forgive him 75% and you just forgive him 25%. And he got me to say that. And then he built up the percentage a little bit more, and by the time it was done, I'd actually said for the first time, "I forgive that person."
Yes.
And just seeing the reasoning of it, and of course by doing that, it helped cast some things out of me, and I almost immediately felt a relief in the burden I was carrying. It's almost a relief. But I sat there and I thought about all the times that Pastor, and towards the end of Pastor's life when he was really sick, how often he would sit up there and say, "I'm not sick," and he was melting away.
Right.
But he kept speaking it and kept speaking it, and I believe him speaking it is what kept him with us for so many years. So, did we lose Everett?
Might have. Maybe he might be trying to contact his second caller.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know, it's what happens is, see, our feelings, the way we feel, the way we think, changes, and as it changes to line up with the word, then that forgiveness comes. Then it's not, you know, today, mm-hmm. you know, when you first go through it, or this hour, "Oh, there's no way I could forgive that person." But the more you read about, like you said, you get confronted with the word. That's why reading the word is so important. When you see that there, you know, the type of forgiveness that's in the word, and when our feelings, how we feel, what we want to do at that given time, or how about what that demon inside us wants us to do, is one way. But the more we get into the word, the more the truth comes out, and that's when our feelings change toward those people. Because I know just what you mean. There's a couple men down the road. They're not really neighbors. They're a little further away than that. But they're just liars. And they've lied about me and this. And it you know, for a while, it really bothered me. But, you know, I've learned. And part of it was going out to Oklahoma City about that forgiveness. Not just forgive some of the people, not just forgive some, but all, and forgive. And now I look at them and think about them. They haven't changed. They still lie, but I've changed, and how I look at them has changed. And we have a caller calling in, so let me just bring him right on. Good evening, okay. And welcome to the program. Good.
Yes.
Hey, good
yes,
evening.
Sir.
Well, Ralph, here you go.
Yeah.
Graham, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir.
Graham, thanks for calling, Graham. We've got about 10 minutes to share yet, so if you could go ahead and give a quick history on yourself and then when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance and what you've seen even with yourself in ministry. So go right ahead.
Well, my name's William Graham McAwee. I was born in Oklahoma City. I was introduced to deliverance ministries by a friend named Amanda Weiser, and being delivered, I got delivered 2 weekends ago when I came into the deliverance ministry with Amanda and my brother. My whole reason to coming in was just trying to help my brother get better. And
yeah. But you wound up getting ministry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead and tell what happened. You wound up getting ministry yourself, Graham.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I did. I did, and everything's been going pretty good. I try to do good to make things go good in my life.
Could you feel the spirits coming out, Graham?
Well, yes.
Any yawns or coughs, or that happens with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Did you have some of that? Uh-huh.
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't have no yawns or coughs or anything.
Okay. So what changes have you seen from problem areas that you had?
Well, my attitude's been better.
Yeah.
And my little brother's slowly but surely been getting a little better.
Praise God for that.
Yeah. Yeah, praise God.
Yeah. Now, did you have some asthma? Has that changed any?
Oh, well, no, not really. I don't think that'll ever change. It's kind
of
been like that forever.
Well, you're entitled to be free, Graham, on that. We see a lot of people set free from asthma, so that might be something we minister to you on again. And you're entitled to it.
Okay.
Part of the package from the cross. And better on the anger? Better on anger, have you noticed?
Yeah, I haven't had any anger.
Praise God.
I've freed myself of anger, or I've been freed of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least for now.
What other changes have you seen? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any other changes? You'd had a problem with your liver some, is that correct?
Yeah, fatty liver disease. I had a drink problem with drinking, but I haven't had a problem with that. I feel like I've been freed of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord
God.
Has freed me of drinking.
Thank you,
Jesus. It took a really long time for that to happen, but it finally happened. He took it away from me.
Hey, man, that's awesome. Do you find you have a greater peace?
Oh, yes.
Praise God. Well, maybe you'll even see more changes. Just been a week or two, I guess, a couple of weeks since you came in, and sometimes people don't notice the changes for a while. We've seen that happen. Sometimes there's a kind of a delayed deliverance with some, but you're entitled to be free of all those problems you marked on your list. That's what that's our goal line we have for the people that come. And Jesus paid the price at the cross for us to be free and all that and to live life abundant. It sure is a lot more fun in the life abundant. Would you agree?
Yes.
A lot more fun. Hallelujah. Well, Graham, what else would you say to the people about this kind of ministry? Do you think it's needed quite a bit?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. I'm sure there's millions of people out there that could use it.
You know, that problem list we hand out.
I would recommend it.
Praise God. That list that we hand out, most people circle around 36 of those problem areas, and most of them don't have any idea, though, until they've come to the ministry, that those could be actual spirits. They just think it's themselves, you know. They're flesh and blood and themselves and their personality. And what great news it is to find out it's just some little old evil spirits that we can deal with the power we've been given in Jesus' name, and get them out, and then start having life abundant. So that's great news for all of us. You know, we all come from somewhere, and it sure is good to get better. Well, thanks, Graham, for calling in.
Thank you.
I'm excited for you, and feel free to come back as you may need to.
Yes, sir. We will be back.
All right.
Thank you,
God
Graham.
Bless you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk on your show.
Yes. Appreciate
you coming on.
Yeah. You have a wonderful night. God bless you.
Yes. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, something I thought about with forgiveness that I was going to bring up at the first of the show, and then we got off on a kind of a different direction. But think about when we talk about the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. Think about what must have been going through Joseph's mind when there he is. Here's this woman that's been betrothed to him. He hasn't married her yet, hasn't compensated the marriage. Here she is pregnant, and she's telling him, "Hey, I ain't been with any other guy."
Yeah.
And I, you know, obviously he wasn't buying it, because it said he secretly sought to divorce her to not embarrass her and cause problems. Think about that, how much of a character that says in Joseph, and how he was willing to forgive. And I think that if he'd acted opposite, God couldn't have worked with him. And he wouldn't have been there to protect Jesus when he was a baby, because he listened to the angel and he listened to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit said, "Get up and go, the child's in danger," and he went to Egypt, he didn't question. He heard the Spirit and he got up and went. And I thought about it today when I was reading it, and I was thinking to myself, man, what character this man had. Because it's so easy when something like that happens for you just want to call the woman all kinds of names. You lying this, you lying that, and blah, 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 not wanting to forgive. But it said he was a righteous man. He was secretly sought to divorce her. And if you look up the Amplified on that where it said the betrothed, during their time, they had a custom of betrothal. It was a lot different than we think today. They just weren't engaged. She was legally contracted and bounded to him. That was a stonable offense if she had not been, you know, if she would have been a deceiver and not lie and actually went out and slept with a man but wasn't going to see the Holy Spirit, that was a stonable defense. He had every right to do it. He could have brought them up to the authorities and possibly had serious ramifications against that. But he was a righteous man, and he did. And once he did it, I think he was able to forgive and move on, and God was able to use him because when he said, get up, the child's in danger, he got up and went. So praise God on that.
Immediate.
Yeah. Immediately. And I want to get to that point in my life when the Holy Spirit tells me something. I don't hesitate and I just do it. And because we need to have that kind of hearing from the Lord if we want to take this country back for him.
Yes. Yes, as we yield, he'll use us.
Yes, he will. He will. And use us for little things and use us for great things. But we've got to be obedient. If we're not obedient, we won't be used for anything. So praise God. Praise God. Well, Pastor, I think we're just about out of time. I do want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening. Again, that's deliveranceusa.com. And the book is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. And we'll just thank everybody. God bless. Merry Christmas to you. And we'll
see you next time. Merry Christmas to all.
All right.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Nothing will harm you. Nothing
will harm you.